The title this morning is Abraham Looked for a City. Hebrews 11, verse 8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith, he sojourned in a land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs of him of the same promise, for he looked for a city which had foundation, whose builder and maker is God. Our Father in heaven, as we come to you this morning, we desire that same city. We desire this home. And hopefully, Lord, we are just pilgrims in this land. Lord, we have our desires set on things to come and not on things of this earth by the Holy Spirit conviction and the blood of Jesus Christ. And Lord, as we look at this morning, let us see the foolishness of wanting to hang on to this world, the foolishness of the things of this world that are fading away, and how sin has tarnished everything. We ask this thing in Jesus' name, amen. We live in a day of uncertainty, but it's always been uncertain as you go through time. Everyone's worried. Christians have always thought this is the last day. Can things get any worse? But we have to admit this is a time of disorder and chaos. Just look at the news, or don't. How many different governments are there? And how many of them offer any stability? How many governments have come and gone? Look at the unrest and the unruly situations we have around the globe. Can we even imagine, or can we even think of what the Garden of Eden used to be like? In the beginning, in Genesis 1, it said, God created the heavens and the earth. He created the light, the days, the nights. He created grass and herbs and trees with their seed within themselves. He created greater lights to rule by day and lesser lights to rule by night. And the stars he made also. They're just an afterthought. People study him forever. They were God's and the stars he made also. God created great whales and every living creature that moveth, which is in the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind. And God said, let the earth bring forth the living creature of his kind, cattle and creeping things, and the beast of the earth after his kind. And it was so. And you know what God said when he looked at his creation? God looked at his creation and said, it was good. He pronounced creation good. When you look up the biblical definition of good, it says his creation was pleasant. His creation was kind. His creation was benign. We know what benign is. We know what cancer is, and then we know what benign is. Peacefulness, agreeable, are words that are used to define what God created. And then God made man in his image. God said, let us make man in our image. Then we can see what sin has done. The disobedience from Eve and Adam, sin reared its ugly face, escalating to murder within their own two children. Abel was murdered by the hands of his brother Cain. Sin corrupted what God had pronounced good, what God had made upright, what God had made in his image. And we looked and the stain of sin was everywhere. And all it did was multiplied. How can we escape this curse of sin? How can we get away from it? My wife often says she wants to move off the grid. You ever heard of that? She wants to move off the grid. She's tired. She's tired of neighbors. She's tired of the grocery store. She's tired of just people being people. She says, I just want to move off the grid. Go to town once a month. Just have a little shack up in the middle of nowhere. Just get away from it all. Even then, guess what? We can't escape ourselves. Sin has affected that person you look at in the mirror. Is there a place to flee? The world hasn't found one, and it's not for lack of searching. People flee countries to go to different countries. People flee states. We have people fleeing California because of their taxes and because of things going into other states. And people say, well, if you're going to leave there and come here, don't bring that stuff to our place. Well, guess what? They will. They flee cities. They flee cultures. People even change religions, all looking for a utopia, a place where everything is perfect, yet finding none. America is called the land of opportunity, considered a place of endless possibilities. People come from all over the world, leaving everything they know, everything that they're familiar with, leaving families just to come here, searching for a new beginning, searching for a fresh start. People come here looking for the American dream, whatever that is. How's it working out? How's the American dream working out? Does our nation look content? When you look at the news, do you see contentment? When you look at the paper, do you see peace? And even if you have it for a brief moment, how long does it last? You know, we as people are so gullible. Well, I like to think of myself as well-grounded. No, we're gullible. We're very easily persuaded. We fall for scams of all sorts. We watch infomercials and call the numbers, assuming the products are going to act just the way they described it. We get hoodwinked by telemarketers. You know, that's how the world works. It preys on us. It's rooted and grounded in false promises. Sin is ever present. How many of you or your kids have ever got your dream job? Oh, my kid fell into this dream job. It ended up just like they described it in the interview. You know, even in religion, you know what they say? If you find a perfect church, don't join it, because it won't be perfect anymore. What can we do? Or where can we go to find peace? There is only one place. To the one who has all the answers. Turn to John chapter 6. John chapter 6. Verse 64. It says, but there are some of you that believe not. It said, for Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray him. And he said, therefore said I unto you that no man can come unto me, no man can come unto God except. There's a clause. Except it were given unto him of my Father. You know the calling of God is a gift? You can argue with me all you want to, but it's written right there on the page. The calling of God is a gift. If you've heard the voice of God, do you know how fortunate you are? If you were raised in a good home, in a godly home, do you know how fortunate you were? If you had a co-worker who shared the gospel with you, do you know how fortunate you were? And from that time, many of his disciples, they didn't like what he said. People were turned off by that today. And they went back and walked no more with him. Then Jesus said unto the 12, will you also go away? Will you also go away? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom else shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. You know, he's the only one that has the keys. He's the only one that is the truth. Do you like when someone tells you the truth, or do you like when someone flatters you and lies to you? We can't handle the truth. You want to know the truth? You can't handle the truth. That was the line in the famous movie. And here people couldn't handle the truth of what Jesus was saying, but his disciples said, Jesus, you only have the words of eternal life. And we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. We believe that you are the answer. Have you found him to be your answer? Because he is. He is the only answer. He is the only hope. His ways are true and just and righteous altogether. God's calling is like no other calling you've ever heard. It reveals the person of God to the blind sinner. It's life-changing. The word of God, the call of the Almighty. Turn to Hebrews chapter 4. Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Timothy, Titus, Thessalonians, Timothy, Titus, Philemon, Hebrews, before James, Peter, John. Hebrews 4. Verse 12. Hebrews 4, verse 12. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder the soul of spirits, the joints of the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Have you ever seen debaters? Have you ever seen great debaters? Like sometimes when I don't know anybody, my kids say, oh, Dad, you'll like him. Or oh, then, and you say, you'll turn on YouTube and you'll hit, watch so-and-so shut down the opposition. Watch it. And they get in this great debate and he just stuns them. They come up with some theory, some proposition of their thinking, and he just shuts them right down with the things he says. Boy, that was an excellent answer to that question. That was an excellent answer. That was a great response in that debate. Well, you know something? This word of God is so powerful. If you ever come in contact with you, it's going to get to the root of the problem. You ever get called in the principal's office? Or am I the only one? Well, Denny's here. I know I'm not the only one. You ever get called in the principal's office? You ever sit in front of your parents and they start asking questions? What happened to the vase? Who's in the room? Three hands go up. Well, what happened? Were you guys playing in there with the ball you weren't supposed to with? And the questions get more and more. The sweat starts coming off your face. Your hands get all clammy. You get called in the principal office. What happened in gym class? It was him. Everybody points their fingers at each other. No, they'll ask questions till they get to the bottom of it. You know, the word of God, look what it does. It's quick. The word. It didn't say the person of God. It says the word of God is quick and powerful, and it's sharper than any two-edged sword. Do you know how sharp knives are? Scissors are, swords are. You got to be careful how you handle them. They'll cut you. They'll cut your skin right till it bleeds. piercing even to the dividing of the sunder of your soul and spirit, the joints, and it is the discerner of the thoughts and intents of your heart. Whoa, I don't want anybody getting into that business. I don't want you knowing my thoughts, my intents. I don't want you to know what's going on in my mind right now. You have no idea my thoughts. But this word of God will get to the root of the problem. Isn't that why we go to the doctor when we're not feeling good? I'm not feeling good. Well, let's run some tests. Let's get to the bottom of this. Well, this word of God will get to the bottom of your problem. And you know what your problem is? You. It's your sin. You know what your problem? You know, you get fired from this job, you get fired from this job, you quit this job. You know, people never look in the mirror and say, wait a second. You have this failed relationship and this failed relationship, and you can't get along with this, and nobody, look in the mirror. This word of God will discern, and you know what? It will change your appetites forever. It will change your appetites. I just had a lady told me her son and his best friend just joined the military. They shipped them off the other day. They drove them to the airport to be shipped off. You know what I told her? 6-8 weeks from now, your kid will be different. You won't have to tell him to clean up his room. His shoes will be lined up. His bed will be made. I know. The military will straighten you out. You won't have to say, hey, are you getting up today? No, he'll be up. The military will. Well, let me tell you something. This word of God will straighten you up. Turn to 1 John 2. After Hebrews, James, Peter, John. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. It says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. When the word of God speaks to you and the love of God enters into your heart, guess what? The world's kicked out. You're not going to have both. That's what the word of God said. Because he says, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And guess what? This world is passing away and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. The call of God will straighten out your desires. Things won't take priority or preeminence over the love of God. I was listening to a preacher on my phone one day, and he says, you know, I've never had to tell people to quit stuff. I've never had to tell people to quit stuff. I said, if you can do it, go ahead and do it. And if they can, I know they haven't been taught of God. I know they haven't been called of God. If you can get away with doing that, go right ahead, because God hasn't spoken to you. But to God from this Bible, when he speaks to you, he will change you. He will change how you treat your wife. He'll change how you work at your job. He will change everything about you. They said years ago in a household, even the animals knew when their master got saved. He treated them different. That's what happens. When the divine calling of God, the divine, it's a divine calling. If you don't believe me, read the scriptures. We can't escape sin outside of the call of God. This calling can deliver us. In Hebrews 11:8, it said, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place. Turn to Genesis chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12. Genesis Genesis chapter 12, verse 1, it says, "Now the Lord had said unto Abraham, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land which I will show you." Get out of there. Get out. It all starts with a summons or a calling, an invitation from God Almighty. The Lord called Abraham, and guess what he did? He left everything in the rearview mirror. You remember Pilgrim's Progress when he was leaving home and the kids were yelling and the wife and everybody's yelling, "Get back here, get back here." He had to leave. He says, "I can't keep going this way. I have to go on." How do you know the voice is real? There's a lot of voices in this world. There's so many voices calling us in every different direction. Half my friends are going this way and half my friends are going that way, and I just want to be with my friends. Right? Do you realize what we tell our kids sometimes? You know, you can't please everybody. You can say no to people. You can say no to that person. You don't have to go there. You have to drop your, at a drop of a hat, do whatever they want to. Well, let me tell you something. When God's calling comes to you, you'll be able to say no to people. Because his voice drowns out every other voice. You say, well, where is it today? Where is it today? Is it still around today? Yes, it is. Look at Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1. Verse 1. It says, "God, who in sundry times and in divers manners, many different ways, spoke into the past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days," you know we're living in the last days, "spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds." He has spoken to us by his Son. My dad used to always say, oh, it used to drive him nuts. Whenever we got something, I'd open up the package and I'd get out the manual. He said, "What are you getting that for? You know, you can figure out how to put..." Have you ever put something together and realized you used the wrong screws in step two? Or you used the wrong piece of wood in step three? They're pretty much the same size. They're only an inch difference, and the width was the only difference. But now you got to take it all the way back to point two and go to point two and use the right piece and set it up together. You ever do that? Well, I did it enough that I said, you know what? Forget it. I'm going to get it out. I'm going to get the instructions out. I'm going to lay the pieces out. Now, the problem is sometimes the instructions aren't real clear anymore. But you know what? This instruction book is real clear. And it says in these last days that you and I are living in, he has spoken. Do you want to know? Do you want to know the truth? Look in his word. Oh, no, no. Just go ahead and live your life the way you want to and then go, whoops. I should have looked in the manual. I should have got things right from the beginning. God's voice is different. It doesn't sound like the word. And Jesus' voice is different. It speaks with authority. Don't you like a general? Don't you like a teacher? Don't you like a coach who knows what they're doing and coaches, teaches, instructs with authority? Well, look at Matthew chapter 7, verse 29. Matthew 7, verse 29. We'll go up to verse 28. Matthew 7, 28. "And it came to pass when Jesus ended these sayings," when he was done talking, "the people were astonished at his doctrines." They were astonished at his teaching, "for he taught them as one having authority and not as" who? The scribes. Well, the scribes had scriptures. The scribes had teaching, but not like this one. Not like this one. Turn to John chapter 7. John chapter 7 and verse 46. There's a division amongst people over Jesus. And they're fighting about who he is and what's going on. Blah, blah, blah. And you know what? They want the officers to do something about it. And you know what the officer said in verse 46? It said the officers answered and said, "Never man spake like this man." There's something different about it. You know, God's voice is effectual. You know what that means? You know what it is to have effect on something and to not have effect on someone? Well, let's think of parenting. Have you ever heard parents go, "Johnny, get over here. Johnny, stop that." There's no effect whatsoever. Kid doesn't listen at all. That's no effect. You ever hear a guy take his fingers in his mouth and go, and his dog stops and listens, runs right back to him? That's effectual. Do you ever hear an adult say to a kid, say, "Knock it off," and the kid straightens up? That's effectual. Well, God's calling is effectual. It's effectual. It is successful in producing a desired or intended result. It gets the job done. In the Old Testament, God spoke directly to men sometimes and through prophets. Today, he speaks through his word. Have you ever heard the calling of God? If you're a Christian, you have. God tells us and directs us through his word and through Holy Ghost conviction. How can we be certain? Just read what it says. Turn to Romans chapter 10. Right after the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, chapter 10. Verse 11. "For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed." You won't be disgraced. You won't be put to shame. "For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon his name." You know something? We just want to make divisions. That's what we want to do today. We want to say, "Oh, the Jews over there and the Christians over here." No, God said when he was done, he said, "We're all the same. We're all people. We're all sinners." And guess what? It says there's no difference between the Jews and the Greeks. There's no difference between the Jews and the Gentiles. There's no difference between the peoples of God. He said, "For the same Lord over all is rich unto them to call upon his name." There's no special thing between the priest and you. There's no different distinction. If you're a sinner and call upon God's name, you're all allowed to. "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." You'll be protected from judgment. You'll be healed from your sin. You'll be restored in the eyes of God, and you will be preserved. You know what being preserved is? You know what preservatives are? You'll be preserved. God will change you, and you'll be forever changed. You'll be preserved. "How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed?" Well, you're not going to call on someone you don't believe. You're not going to call on someone who you don't know. You may give me the number of your electrician, and I'll say, "Hello, is this Joe's electrician?" "Well, Richard, you know Richard over there in New Columbia, he referred me to you. We're going to use Richard to go there. We're going to use someone else. I know so-and-so, and they said you're an electrician to help with that." That's what we do. You don't have to do that with God. You can call upon him when you hear about it. But you got to hear about it. "How shall they believe in whom they have not heard?" Why do you think he calls us to go into all the world and preach the gospel? Because they got to hear somehow. That's how he calls on people. And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. You don't have to be a quote-unquote preacher verified by a university. If you're sharing the gospel of the good news, you're preaching the world. He said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. That's you and me and anyone who's a Christian. That's our calling. Remember the ones he gave talents to and they hid their talents versus the ones they gave their talents to? And we share, you know, when people ask me about the restaurant I went to last night, I'm going to say, yeah, we didn't like it. But when somebody said, oh, we're hungry. Hey, we're hungry. And after the game, we're going to go up to wing. Hey, you ever try this place? It's a good place to eat. We aren't shy about sharing anything that's good. Hey, you want a car? I got a buddy. Go down there. He'll do you right. We share all kinds of information. Let's share the gospel of good tidings. If we look at verse 16. But they have not always obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah says, Lord, who hath believed our report? And look at those are all the verses leading up to this verse. It's quoted all the time. Verse 17, so faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You say, well, my faith isn't very strong. Do you read your Bible? Do you read his word? Do you see his testimony? I mean, you read the paper every day, right? I tell myself, I'm not going to look at the news. Do you think I look at the news? Why are you nodding your head? Yes. I'm not going to look at that app on my phone. It just irritates me. Do you want to know the news of the kingdom to come? Do you want to hear the good news? Because there's a lot of good news. You want to hear the good news? It says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The word Jesus Christ was given. I can tell you where the good news won't be. It won't be in the daily newspaper. Won't be in the Daily Item. Won't be in the Milton Standard Journal. Won't be in the Williamsport Sun Gazette. Won't be in the New York Times. The good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ won't be there. You know where it's not going to be? It's not going to be on ABC Worldly Report. It's not going to be on any of the news outlets that you watch at night. They may use it as a front or quote a scripture to try to, you know, use it to their own deceit. But you're not going to find faith by the hearing of God in mainstream media. Jesus, the Word, is our compass. He's our map, he's our conscience, and he's our captain of salvation. That's who he is to his people. And it says, by faith, Abraham was instructed by God with the effectual voice, and guess what? He obeyed. He submitted to the authority, he complied to the commandment, and he saw through the eyes of faith. You know what Hebrews 1:11 says? Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for. What is faith? It's the evidence of things not seen. You ever go on vacation where you've never been and you get excited? Why are you getting excited about something you've never seen? Well, because I've heard all about it. I mean, I don't know how many times I can keep telling you about Hawaii before you go there. You're foolish for not going there and seeing the beauty of it. Well, we went to Hawaii, and well, Sean said it's going to be beautiful over there. Sean said you're going to sit here, and it's going to be 85, and you're going to look up there, and there's going to be snow on the mountain when it's 85 down here. And he told me when the sun sets, you've never seen anything so beautiful when the sun sets over the ocean on that little island there. And the waves, like, he just said, you know what? And you're going to go over and say, you know, he didn't lie to me. Well, faith is the substance of things hoped for. He's going to tell you, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You get in this word of God, and your faith will increase. Your hopes will heighten. Your excitement will go through the roof. This stuff is life-changing. Turn to 2 Kings 5. 2 Kings 5. Old Testament. Go through Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges, Ruth. Then you have Samuel, Kings, and Chronicles. Kings is right in the middle of Samuel and Chronicles. 2 Kings 5, verse 17. If you remember, there was a little girl that was captive. She was stolen from her country. Can you imagine that? Someone went into another nation, invaded them, and stole the people. And she's a servant to a man named Naaman, who's a leader in the Syrian armies, and he has leprosy. Well, good for him, because he's a rotten man from Syria. And he has leprosy, and I hope he has it till he dies. But that isn't what she said. This little captive girl that's been stolen from her family, by the grace of God, says, boy, I feel bad for that guy who stole me. I feel bad that he suffers with that disease. I wish he'd meet the guy over in Israel. I wish he'd meet the prophet that would cure him of his leprosy. And guess what? He listened. So he went to meet the prophet. He brought all this stuff to the prophet. And the prophet tells him, go wash in these waters. And he argues with him. That's what happens. That's what happens with kids. That's what happens with students. That's what happens with employees. They argue. You tell them to do this, they don't want to do that. They think they know better. Well, this guy says, I don't want to wash. We have better pools of water where I live. Why would I wash in your way? Well, if you want to be healed, you'll listen. If you don't want to be healed, you'll do it your own way. That's how the Word of God says. Do it your own way, and you see how it works out. So finally, this powerful captain of armies finally submits to the Word of God. He goes and washes in these waters, and his baby's like baby skin. He's cured from an uncurable disease. There was no remedy for leprosy. Just like we say, why can't we find a cure for cancer today? They didn't have a cure for leprosy, and it was ugly disease that hit you. Well, look at verse 17. And Naaman said, therefore, shall there not then, I pray thee, be given to thy servant 2 mules burdened of earth? For thy servant, look what he said, I will henceforth offer neither burnt offering nor sacrifice unto other gods, but unto the Lord. He said, will you take these gifts? Because I'm not going to offer anything anymore to the gods that I used to serve. Do you know he didn't have to stop him? The prophet didn't have to say, hey, you better not serve those other gods anymore. No, he said, I'm not going to. You don't have to worry about it. This God has changed my heart. But I have a problem. And I want to get it out of my chest. In this thing, the Lord pardon thy servant. Will God forgive me? That when my master, I serve a master, goeth into the house of Rimmon, to worship there, he leaneth on my hand, and I bow myself in the house of Rimmon. When I bow down myself in the house of Rimmon, the Lord pardon thy servant for this thing. And the prophet said, go in peace. It's going to be okay. He said, I'm not going to serve, but I serve a guy that I have to take to another house. And he uses me and my staff, and I have to lean down with him, but I'm not offering to him. Will God forgive me? And the servant said, it's okay. God will forgive you, because he knows you're not serving them. You're being a faithful servant in the house of the person you're working for. But that's how much he was convicted, that he wanted to know if it was okay to do that. Remember when Saul turned to Paul? Turn to Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9. From verse 2, Paul was desiring more letters. More letters. You know, you have to have a warrant to search a house. The police have to get a warrant signed by the judge to go knock down the doors and go somewhere. This is what Paul's doing. And desired of him letters to Damascus to the synagogues. He wanted more letters. He wanted to go get these synagogues, and he wanted to go get these Christians. That if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. And as he sojourned, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined a light round about him, a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard the voice of God spoke to him. Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling, now this is mighty Saul, who's not afraid of anybody, but the voice of God made him tremble. And astonished, Lord, what will thou have me to do? Guess what? He's got a new commander. He's got a new Lord. And look at verse 11. And the Lord said unto him, arise and go into the streets, which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judah for one called Saul. For what's Saul do now? He's praying to the same God he persecuted. Look at verse 13. And Ananias said, Lord, I have heard by many of this man, how much evil he has done to the saints. This guy is dangerous. Dangerous. And here he hath authority from the chief priests to bind all that call on thy name. He can throw us in jail, Lord. And what did the Lord say? The Lord said unto him, go thy way. Stop it. Knock it off. Quit worrying. For Saul, he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel, for I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name. You know what? He just switched from the Yankees to the Red Sox. Can you believe that? He switched from the 70 Steelers to the Cowboys. He switched teams. You can't do that. He did. He switched teams. He switched parties. He switched from a Republican to a Democrat or a Democrat to a Republican. That's impossible. He was drafted into the Lord's army. Do you remember Nebuchadnezzar? Look at this house that I've built. He's lucky God showed him who built the house. You don't submit to this God and he comes after you, he'll break everything you know to humble you to the point that you can listen. You ever when you was a kid, your older uncle comes over or your older cousin comes over and you play uncle? They put you down the thing and they bend your arm or they twist your wrist or they bend your leg and say, say uncle. Say uncle. Say uncle. They make you submit. If God's calling you, you better listen. You better listen. Turn to Romans 8, 24. Romans 8, 24 says, for we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. You know, 70, seeing is believing. You don't have to see this thing. You can believe it by faith. For what a man seeth, what doth he hope for then? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Now watch this here. Listen to this. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. How many of you have infirmities? How many of you are in situations you don't know what to do? Because that's what he said. That's what an infirmity is. Something overtakes you. He says, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know where I'm going. I don't know what I'm praying for. I don't know if I should pray for it to get better, pray for it to be worse. If I pray this way, I don't know what's going to happen. But the Spirit itself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Are you ever perplexed, not sure what is happening and what to do? Does that sound familiar? That's what he's talking about. And he that searches the hearts knoweth what the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. You know, things happen in our life, and you look back and say, that was one of the best blessings I ever had. Never understood what a blessing that was. And we know that all things work together for good to them who love God, to those who are called according to his purposes. We just don't always see and understand in the present. Abraham, you know, Abraham went out and he didn't know where he was going. He didn't know what he was doing. Can you imagine someone said, pack up your bags, sell your house, get your belongings, get your sister, brother-in-law, get them all, let's go. Well, where are we going? Where I tell you. Well, when are you going to tell me? When I want to. It said, Hebrews 11, verse 9, it says, by faith he, Abraham, sojourned in the land of promise. In the land of promise. You know he went to Canaan land? Before it was called Canaan land? He went to Canaan land and went there as it was a strange country, and he dwelt in tabernacles with his son Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. He left a land of idols and worship and all that he knew, and he sojourned in a new country, starting a new life, and he roamed as a pilgrim in Canaan land, the promised land, like it was a strange country. Isn't that where Israel journeyed 40 years to get into? Yeah, Abraham was already there. He'd already been there. He'd already done that. For he looked for a city that had foundations, whose builder and maker was God. So Abraham was in the promised land way before Joshua and the children of God, and it didn't satisfy him. God gave Israel the land that flowed with milk and honey, and guess what? It didn't satisfy him because he just sinned against God. So today, what are we going to focus on? The Canaan land, the land that flows with milk and honey. How do you think they're going to make out? If you're living in this life, you better be searching. Are you searching for a city? Are you searching for a place whose builder and maker is God? You know, the kingdom of God, it said, is within us until it becomes a reality to us. I have a question for you. Are you just fine here? Are you satisfied with this life? Are you satisfied with your surroundings? Where is your treasure? Hebrews 12:28, you don't have to be there. It says, wherefore we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with what? Reverence and godly fear. Philippians 3:20 says, for our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember, there's an old song, this is not our home, we are just passing through. Are you satisfied with this life, or are you looking for another? Last verse, Matthew 6:21. You know what? It says, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. That's why he says, set your affections on things above, not on things of this earth. Are we like Abraham? Are we looking for a city whose builder and maker is God? Well, we certainly like to hang on to stuff here, don't we? My closets are full. How about yours? If my wife just bought more hangers, I don't know why. We don't even have room to put stuff on hangers and jam them in there. I look at those clothes and I said, geez, I don't know. Well, I'm bigger than that. I can't even fit in that, but I'm going to one day because I'm on a diet now. I'm going to get back to so I can wear some of these clothes. But then if that happens, I can throw some of this other clothes. And I haven't worn this in 4 or 5 years, and that probably is longer than that, but I better have them hanging there just in case. Right? You ever go out to the shed? You ever go out to the shed? We got so much stuff. You know what? I have that somewhere, but I got to move all this stuff that's piled on top of it and that stuff. Oh, I got to even have that. And, oh, where'd that? Oh, yeah. We have so much stuff. It's almost like we're planning on staying here forever. Right? Invest in heaven. Set your affections on things above where moth and rust doesn't corrupt. And it'll be okay. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the promises. We thank you for the truth. Lord, our faith is small. Our faith is sometimes failing, but to increase our faith, we must get in your word and see your faithfulness. It's amazing. The more time we invest in something, the more we know about it, the more we understand it, the more we do it. Help us to put more investment in you and your word. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.